Right now, many churches are planning their budgets for the next fiscal year. Your church can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by joining the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to include $1,000 in their mission or advertising budgets. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 on the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. Don't miss your congregation's budget deadline. Download the flyer and present it to your congregation today.
I'm not a real religious person, but I'm somewhat religious. And I'm just wondering if God's telling us he doesn't want us to drill offshore because it sure is setting back offshore drilling.
I understand totally what George thinks and what other people think about marriage being between a man and a woman. And it's a real reversal, really, to accept gay marriage.
But you do.
But I think we could, yeah.
You ever heard the expression, someone's so heavenly minded they have no earthly good? I always think that's such a bogus thing. It's the other way around. If you're heavenly minded, for the first time, you actually become of some earthly good.
Washington jet drivers love Issues Etc.
Well, it was a day I'm sure the disciples never forgot. Jesus had promised this. In fact, even before Jesus came on the scene and began gathering disciples, John the Baptist had promised this. He had talked about the coming of the Holy Spirit along with the Messiah. And Jesus sends the Holy Spirit upon his disciples after his ascension. He makes them wait 10 days. And then on the festival of Pentecost, which the church now celebrates this coming Sunday in an entirely different way and new way and fulfilled way, Jesus kept his promise and he sent his Holy Spirit. But it's not exactly, at least the visible outward manifestations, not exactly the way we see and hear the Holy Spirit coming today. So how do we teach about Pentecost, the first one, now 2,000 plus years later, celebrating yet another Pentecost? We're going to be talking about Jesus sending the Holy Spirit. Deaconess Pam Nielsen joins us for the first half hour of this Tuesday afternoon's program. It's May the 18th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. In the second half hour of the program, Dr. Brett Taylor joins us to talk about God the Father. In the second hour of the program, Dr. David Menton kicks it off. We'll talk about evolution and an ancient mass extinction of fish. There's a gap in the fossil record, and evolutionists have noticed it for a long time, had no explanation until very recently. We'll see if those who hold to a biblical view of creation have an explanation. Then Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse will be our guest. We'll talk about the sexualization of girls, the hottest thing on YouTube. A little dance troupe, very talented girl dancers, all about 8 years old, but they're dressed like, worse than prostitutes, and they're dancing like some of their over-sexualized adult idols. We'll see what Jennifer Roback Morse has to say about that, and then Molly Ziegler-Hemingway joins us for the last half hour. We're going to talk with her about two issues, same-sex open marriages, not just same-sex, but open marriages, and we'll also talk about tithing. Our call-in number for the next 2 hours, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org, talkback@issuesetc.org, or Twitter us at @issuesetc. Joining us first, Deaconess Pam Nielsen, Senior Editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. CPH has a Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ. Pam, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. How are you today?
I'm doing well. And you?
I'm doing well, too. It's, you know, we've got our first sunny day in a while, and maybe for the only one for a few more days. So it's a great day in St. Louis, I think.
I've just resigned myself to never again being able to mow my yard. It's just going to be too wet to mow ever.
That's right. You now have marshland.
That's all right. Yeah, wetland. That's what I'll have, a designated wetland.
There you go.
Some ducks and geese. The first Pentecost was a spectacular event.
Oh,
it came with sound. It came with
wind.
Yeah, all sorts
fire.
Of things. And yes, and it was also to be seen with tongues of fire. And the Holy Spirit still comes today, but not with all the pomp and circumstance. What's different about that day? How do we explain this to kids? What's different about that day as opposed to us today receiving the Holy Spirit?
Well, great question. I so remember that very discussion many years ago at River Forest with Dr. Stephen Hine teaching a bunch of us in our class about the Holy Spirit. And you're right. This is a unique one-time event. It's recorded here in the Book of Acts. It follows 50 days after Easter, and the church still celebrates it 50 days after Easter. It's one of the big days in the church year for God's people. And we remember those events of that day, but we really need to focus, and in Sunday school, focus our children on the purpose of the Holy Spirit's coming and the ways that he comes to us now. And in our text this week, we do the Acts chapter 2 telling of the event, but we also have the John 14 where Jesus promises the Holy Spirit, and there he talks about the purpose of the Holy Spirit keep us in the Word, to teach us all things so that we remember all that Jesus has said to us. And so when we talk about this to the children, we go over the big events of the day, the rushing wind and the disciples gathered and the tongues of fire and all the peoples from around the world that happened to be there who could suddenly hear the gospel, to hear about Christ as Savior in their own language and understand it. We got to talk about that because the message there is that this Jesus and this salvation is for all people the world over. But then we have to help the children see that now the Holy Spirit comes to us in a different way, just as real and for the same important reasons as he came that day, that we would know Jesus as our Savior and Lord. So while we're going to talk about those exciting events, like we do other Bible stories, the parting of the Red Sea and the flood and the miracles of Jesus, all these things are sort of like one-time events. All of them point us to salvation in Christ and to the truth of that. And so we want to transition in our teaching this week to how does the Spirit come to us now? And that's maybe not as glamorous, not as special effects Hollywood as that first one, but still very importantly, through word and sacrament.
Tell us the story.
Sure. You have in Acts chapter 2, the disciples gathered, and the text says in that room, and I've often thought, is that the same other room? They were all gathered in one place, and suddenly from heaven came a sound like a mighty rushing wind. It filled the entire house. Now, you know, interesting that they had this wind and this sound inside the house. And then it says that divided tongues as a fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Now, you know, we've seen lots of ways that's been depicted by artists over the centuries. And then it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. And then the text goes on to tell us that there were then in Jerusalem people from all over, Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And this event made it so that these Galileans, who really, by their own language, could speak one language, suddenly were able to preach about Jesus to all of these different nationalities, these people of different languages, so that they could hear and understand. As it says, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And then all are amazed, perplexed, and the great Lutheran question, guess it didn't start with Luther. What does this mean, they were saying. And others mocked and said, oh, they're filled with new wine. They're drunk. They're silly drunk. And then that gives opportunity for Peter to stand up and make a powerful sermon. And as he begins with, men of Judea and all who dwell, let this be known to you and give ear to my words. And then he takes them. These are Jews, takes them back to a prophet that they should know, Joel, and quotes the prophet and his prediction of this very time that the Holy Spirit would be poured out and there would be prophecy and visions and dreams and all of these things happening, and he's making the connection for them. This prophecy that you've learned from your youth, this is now fulfilled. It's fulfilled in Jesus. And he finishes that Joel reading and says very boldly, "Men of Israel, hear these words, Jesus of Nazareth," and then goes on to talk about him, how he was crucified and God raised him up. And then he continues with the words of David, once again, words that should ring true in their ears, and talks to them about their Savior. Wonderful opportunity and really incredible sermon that all could hear and understand.
Well, when we come back from this break, we'll talk a little bit about how the church celebrates this day. It's often called the birthday of the church, although the church, obviously, in terms of faith, comes long before the day of Pentecost, all the way back to Abraham, back to our very first parents when they believed the message of the Christ that would come. But the church celebrates Pentecost today in ways that can be seen and smelled and heard. We'll talk about some of those, how very important it is for our children to see the changing of the seasons, if you will. And this is a major change. We haven't talked about that yet. This is a major change in the church's way of marking time. That is, from one part of the church year, one half of the church year, with this coming Sunday, to the other half of the church year. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about God sending His Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest, senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House based in St. Louis. After 10 more minutes with Pam, we'll talk with Dr. Brett Taylor. Rounding off this first hour, we'll discuss God the Father. Then in the second hour of the program, it'll be first Jennifer Roback Morse, I believe. Then Dr. David Menton to talk about a mass extinction of fish that created a gap in the fossil record. Then we'll talk about open same-sex marriages with Molly Ziegler-Hemingway.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Will your church be one of the Issues Etc. 300? Hi, this is Todd Wilkin. We're looking for 300 congregations to pledge $1,000 to Issues Etc. in their budgets. To find out more about the Issues Etc. 300, click the support page of our website, issuesetc.org. You'll even find a one-page informational flyer. Please consider including Issues Etc. in your church's mission or advertising budget. The Issues Etc. 300.
Catechesis, God's way of teaching faith in Christ and love to the neighbor. The Concordia Catechetical Academy presents its annual symposium on catechesis in Waukesha, Wisconsin, June 16th through the 18th. This year's theme, the first article of the Creed. Presentations include catechesis on the first three chapters of Genesis, the fatherhood of God, Christ and creation, atheism, evolution, and the Christian faith and life. Register online at peacesussex.org.
Stanza one of the Pentecost hymn, Come Holy Ghost, Our Souls Inspire. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is our guest as we talk about the first Pentecost. Pam, let's talk a little bit about how the church marks not only the change of this season, this day, and all that follows, but on this particular day, what is the church doing a little bit different than it does on other Sundays?
That's a great question. Yeah, this is a big, big switch. We've been in the season of Easter. The color has been white. We've focused on the resurrection of Christ, what he's done for us. And now, 50 days after Easter, we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit, giving the gift of preaching to the apostles, giving the church their Lord in word and sacrament. And the color changes to red, and we worship, though, still the Lord who gives his life to his church. A lot of people think, oh, we're worshiping the Holy Spirit. We worship our God. But the focus still is on Jesus, and the color red represents fire and blood. We remember how the Spirit enlivens us, every Christian, giving them strength. And we remember, too, the martyrs, those who confess the faith and were faithful even in persecution unto death. And so that color red comes with much meaning and much history of God's people. And we focus on this day on the work of the Holy Spirit, who's been sent by Jesus from the Father, and we talk about how the Spirit gives life to the church through word and sacrament, and we praise God for him. So it's a big day, likely a gospel procession, and then that ends the season of Easter. We switch to the red for this day, and then we go into a whole different time, a whole different half, if you will, of the church year. The longest part of the church year follows after Pentecost.
It must have been remarkable for the disciples. I mean, not just the intellectual realization, but suddenly when the Holy Spirit is sent to them, the Holy Spirit begins to do for them what Jesus promised in John's gospel he would do, bring to mind all things that Jesus has said and done, reveal Christ to them, and apparently totally, especially in the case of Peter, totally reorient his thinking about the events that had been so recently transpired in Jerusalem. Talk about, in particular, the change in St. Peter at this point.
Well, you know, this in Sunday school, this is the year, we editors say, the year of Peter, where we focused on a lot of the Peter stories. And so you have Peter, the one who quick to say, you know, you are the Christ, the Son of God. Peter, who denied his Lord three times. Peter, who, you know, walked on the water and then got afraid and fell in. You have Peter, who wants so much to believe and is weak in his own believing. And here you see that the Spirit fills Peter and gives him what he needs, faith and life and the words to preach and speak. And he really does come alive with the Word of God here to the people in really boldness of profession, boldness of faith, proclaiming God's mighty works of salvation. And it's amazing how he, in those words, for himself and for his listeners and for us today, draws our attention to Jesus and his suffering, his dying and rising, as if this has all finally come together for Peter and the other disciples. The dots are, you know, really being connected, and they see the whole picture of who Jesus was for them, who he is for all humanity, and what he's done by his death and resurrection. It's an amazing sort of transformation, and what a wonderful thing that God gives us Peter and tells us all about him through the Gospels and in Acts. Because so often we're like him, and the strength is not in us, and in our faith or our ability to believe or trust, it comes from God. The faith, the proclamation, the words, all of it. And we see that in Peter very clearly.
Pam, we're told today by those who claim to know how it works that if we really want the church to grow, this kind of amazing exponential growth, as in the first days of the church here in Pentecost and following, that we need, I guess in essence, to kind of tweak the message, supplement the message with marketing techniques. We got to be really, really savvy all the time. We have to have our ear to the ground, our finger in the air, all of those little metaphors for kind of seeing where the culture is going and where individual people are in that culture, or we're not going to be successful and the church will not grow. And if we do all these things, the church will grow. I just don't see any of that in St. Peter and Peter preaching there on Pentecost Day.
No, you're right. You don't see it because it's just not there. You don't see it in Acts. You don't see it anywhere in Scripture. What we're called to do as God's people are to believe and to proclaim His Word. And His Word, not our words, not our cunning, not our great oratory skills, but to simply proclaim His Word as the church and trust that His Word comes with the power and comes with God's purpose that He promises to fulfill. And here we have Peter being filled and bolstered by the Holy Spirit, preaching God's Word. And big things happened that day, and we know when we read in Acts, and I think that's the that's what trips us sometimes, is we see, you know, thousands were being added, it says in Acts 2 and other places, how the church was rapidly growing, and there are seasons of that. We could probably look to the rapid growth of Christianity right now south of the equator in many places of the world, particularly in Africa, growth like we wouldn't know what to do with here in the United States. But does that mean that we don't have the Spirit? No. Many places our Lord tells us that it's not going to be easy. St. Paul reminds us that there'll be troubles and struggles and hardships in this life as God's people, and it isn't all success and numbers, but what we're called to is simply to believe His Word and to proclaim it to the world and trust Him to add the increase, to bring in the harvest.
So in a sense, although we started with things different in today's Pentecosts than in that Pentecost, it's the same Spirit, the same means by which He comes, the same message of Christ and Him crucified, the same forgiveness of sins, all very simple, all very much the same as it was with the first Pentecost.
That's right. And because we're not much different than those people, we're human, and humans with sin, we have been given some visible things too. No, not rushing wind that we can hear or feel or flames of fire, but we've been given our baptism, which we felt that water poured over us as God's word was spoken. We take on into our mouths the body and blood of Jesus in bread and wine, with the word of God spoken, the forgiveness of sins. These are not just acts, things that we do to satisfy God's commands. These are real, and they bring us what they promise to bring us. And that is by the power of the Holy Spirit. And when our pastors stand in the pulpit, though they look oh so human to us and all that we know about them or suspect about them or whatever, they are God's preachers like Peter, preaching His word, and that word is powerful. And the message they proclaim is life-giving to us week after week. And so God doesn't leave us with a spirit floating around that we can't see or grab hold of. He gives us what He promises in tangible ways through word and sacrament, through things that we can recognize and see. And that's how the Spirit comes to us. And we can be certain of that because His word tells us so.
Folks, we base our conversations every week with Deaconess Pam Nielsen on Concordia Publishing House's Sunday school curriculum called Growing in Christ, Christ-centered, cross-focused. That goes without saying. And you can see for yourself. Call Concordia Publishing House. Ask them for a free sample of Growing in Christ. They'll send it out to you. Their toll-free number, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask about Growing in Christ. Or you can always find Growing in Christ under the Listen on Demand page at our website, issuesetc.org. Deaconess Pam Nielsen is senior editor of Sunday School Youth and Family Materials for Concordia Publishing House, based in St. Louis. Pam, thank you again.
Thank you. Have a great Pentecost.
You too.
All right.
When we come back, we're going to spend a half hour, the next half hour, with Dr. Brett Taylor, professor of mathematics and chair of the Natural Sciences Division at Concordia University, California, talking about God the Father. A lot of people would like to think of God as a father. But what does it mean that Christians really not only think about God as a father, but have God as their father? We'll be right back. Issues Etc. relies on a small group of faithful supporters called the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. These people have pledged to become monthly or annual contributors to Issues Etc., and this allows us to budget our expenses more efficiently. Now, there are four levels of giving. The Confessor, $25 monthly, or an annual gift of $250. The Apologist, $50 monthly, or an annual gift of $500. The Reformer, $100 monthly, or an annual gift of $1,000. And the Patron, $200 monthly, or an annual gift of $2,000. Each Reformation Club member receives premiums like books, transcripts, and the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club by contacting Craig. His email address, craig@issuesetc.org. Or you can call 618-223-8385. 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Reformation Club.
Real Reformation Radio. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
It's well documented the abortion industry targets blacks and Hispanics. Over 70% of Planned Parenthood abortion mills are in predominantly minority neighborhoods. Black women make up only 13% of the population, but account for over a third of all abortions. They're three times more likely to have an abortion than a white woman. So Georgia proposed legislation making it a crime to abort a child because of race or gender. The state NAACP endorsed the bill. The national organization came down hard on them, and they reversed their stand. Tragically, politics prevents this organization from supporting a law helping them achieve their very mission. Members of the NAACP must stand up to their leadership and demand better.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.